Good morning, Vietnam. Okay, I'm not in Vietnam. It's Dave here. We're on to week four, part one. But just as Robin Williams, the late, great Robin Williams, started the day with Good Morning, Vietnam, after a good night's sleep, we're actually talking about the importance of a good night's sleep in week four. This is such an important topic, I can't even begin to tell you just how important it is. So I'm really excited and looking forward to talking to you about this and how sleep really can affect pretty much every other function in your body. Now, I personally consider sleep to be an enormously overlooked issue in health programs. If you're looking to rejuvenate your body and your mind, you simply won't do it without inadequate sleep. It's just not going to happen. Now, the Orientals, the Eastern philosophies around health, know the importance of the body clock. They know how important circadian rhythm is, getting the body in sync with the light and dark cycles of the sun, the moon, and the earth. And they have this system in Chinese medicine where they look at 2-hour time frames. So there are 12 lots of 2 hours in a 24-hour day. And they talk about those hours being specific to the activity of different organ and meridian systems in the body, as shown in this diagram here. Now, it's not just Oriental medicine and Eastern wisdom that talks about the importance of the circadian rhythm, the sleep, the biological clock, or whatever you want to call it. This is a guy named Dr. Akhilesh Reddy from Cambridge University in the UK. And he says, the biological clock influences every biological process in the human body, and the health consequences of living against the clock were pretty clear cut. Professor Andrew Loudon, Manchester University, again in the UK, says the problems caused by living against the body clock may be less sexy than the countless this or that causes cancer stories. It is nonetheless a major problem for society. Then in a study that I found, some research online, they said pioneering genetic research is now uncovering how living life against the clock is damaging our health. About 10% of human DNA has a 24-hour pattern of activity, which is behind all the behavioral and physiological changes in the body. So now we're even getting to the point where we can see that certain elements of our DNA work with the clock, not just our sleep and wake cycles. This is really important stuff. Now, I have a little analogy that I teach people where I talk about the interconnectedness of the body. It's a little bit like the Olympic rings. We have a medical system that perpetually tries to understand more and more about less and less by specializing in ever finer details in the body. So we have cardiologists for the heart and the cardiovascular system. We have endocrinologists for the hormones. We have gastroenterologists for the digestive system. We have hepatologists for the liver. We have dermatologists for the skin. We have urologists for the kidneys, the bladder, and the urinary tract. There's an ology for just about every part of the body, and even many diseases like oncology. We have cancer experts, right? But you go and ask a cardiologist how the digestive system influences the cardiovascular system, and they won't be able to give you an answer, because these guys and gals, geniuses as they are, become very, very blinkered to their specialist area. And they lose sight of the generalist approach, which is to consider how one area of the body or one activity affects another area of the body. And if you have the same situation or a similar situation to most of our clients and most of our members, you'll be struggling with symptoms in several different areas of health. You might be tired, you might have digestive problems, headaches, skin problems, sexual problems, fertility problems, joint and muscle pain, skin problems, etc. And these clusters of symptoms happen because the body is an interconnected, tangled web of different systems. Now, I simplify it in the Olympic rings into the hormone system on the left, the digestive system, the detoxification system, the immune system, and then what I call the kind of the structural systems, which are the heart, the lungs, the nerves, the muscles, and the bones. And the reason I've put this diagram here of the Olympic rings is simply to tell you that sleep and circadian rhythm affects all of these different systems, and therefore it has the potential to trigger or perpetuate a whole range of different health challenges that you may be experiencing. Now, sleep deprivation, as we're going to learn in detail over the next two presentations, is associated with inflammation, which underpins all the major diseases. It's associated with depression. It's associated with fatigue. It's associated with poor focus and concentration. It is associated with type 2 diabetes, and it's even associated with certain types of cancer as well. So sleep is pretty important here. This diagram, which I think is a really cool diagram, is from a website called healthline.com, which is a very well-respected health website, medical website. And it talks about the health effects of sleep deprivation in diagrammatic form. And as you can see here, just quickly on the left-hand side, you have accidental death at the top. Yawning, memory problems, hallucinations, microsleep, which we'll talk about next time, weakened immune response, weight gain, high blood pressure. Then going around anti-clockwise at the bottom, you have heart disease, type 2 diabetes, colds and flu, accident prone, depression, moodiness, cognitive dysfunction, and impaired brain activity, all as a result of not getting a good night's sleep. Now, as little as single night of sleep deprivation, can result in a person having a phenomenon called microsleeps the next day. A person begins to fall into mini snooze sessions, which last up to 30 seconds. Some people's eyes remain open during microsleeps, but the disturbing thing about them is that during sleep, the person is essentially blind, even if their eyes are open. Studies show that during microsleeps, the brain goes into a deep state rapidly and uncontrollably. People can force themselves awake, but they will soon fall into another microsleep. This condition can be incredibly dangerous, especially if you're behind the wheel. This is kind of the nodding off phenomenon behind the wheel, where you kind of nod off a little bit, oh, and then you jolt yourself awake as you start to go over the slip road or the central reservation where the cat's eyes are, the lights in the middle of the road. And this is a real problem. So these microsleeps can happen, and they're going to affect everything. They can affect your work, your performance, if you're looking after small children, your driving, etc. Not only are they putting yourself in potential harm's way, but also other people as well. Now, this is quite an interesting slide. It looks just like a headline from a BBC website article, which it is. The reason I've put it in here is because the mainstream media, as you're probably aware, doesn't really address a lot of the most important health topics. You'll typically find a lot of medical breakthroughs. We have a new drug for cancer. We have this for that. And wow, the pharmaceutical company's pumping money into our media stream so we can publish stories that benefit them. But you don't really get too much information about high quality nutrition, supplementation, functional medicine, different tests that you can do outside the scope of the medical system, yoga, Chinese medicine, meditation. This stuff's not mentioned in the mainstream media very much, but sleep is. And that's interesting. So it says here, arrogance of ignoring need for sleep. And this was a very, very telling article, which, as you can see, was published in 2014 in May. Now, there was also a sleep study that we've mentioned previously in this program that was partly done with Loughborough University, which is the university that I went to. So I'm glad to drop this one in. And it said the world's largest sleep study reveals 3/4 of people in the UK fail to wake up refreshed. So you can look at the extent of the problem. And this was a study that was published very recently in 2016. Now, my clinical experience is that about 1/2 to 3/4 of my clients have some kind of sleep problem. They may have difficulty falling asleep. They may have problems waking up once they've fallen asleep. They may wake up at around 1 or 3 a.m. They may wake up at 4 or 5 a.m. and then not be able to get back to sleep and have to get up. May wake up not feeling refreshed. And unfortunately, the majority, again, through no fault of our own, their own, your own, don't actually understand the potential consequences of these poor sleep habits or patterns that they're in. So we go back to what the BBC article had to say, where we were told we were arrogant about sleep problems. And it says society has become supremely arrogant in ignoring the importance of sleep, and leading researchers have told the BBC's Day of the Body Clock. Scientists from Oxford, Cambridge, Harvard, Manchester and Surrey, you know, there's some pretty big hitting universities there, warn that cutting sleep is leading to serious health problems. Cancer, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, infections and obesity have all been linked to reduced sleep. The body clock drives huge changes in the human body. It alters alertness, mood, physical strength, and even the risk of a heart attack in a daily rhythm. Professor Russell Foster of Oxford University said, "We are the supremely arrogant species. We feel we can abandon 4 billion years of evolution and ignore the fact that we have evolved under a light-dark cycle. What we do as a species, perhaps uniquely, is override the clock, and long-term acting against the clock can lead to serious health problems. Light is the most powerful synchronizer of your internal body clock or biological clock," says Professor Charles Seisler or Scheisler from Harvard. He said energy-efficient light bulbs, as well as smartphones, tablets, and computers, which we are going to talk about not only in the presentations, but also in some handouts that I've given you, they had high levels of light in the blue end of the spectrum, which is right in the sweet spot for disrupting the body clock. What they're saying is that if you stare at your computer, your phone late at night, you're actually disrupting the body clock. You're actually reducing melatonin production, which is one of the hormones that drives restful sleep. Light exposure, especially short wavelength bluish light in the evening, will reset our circadian rhythms to a later hour, postponing the release of the sleep-promoting hormone melatonin and making it more difficult for us to get up in the morning. Now, we go back to the study that was done in 2016. 75% of the people in the UK don't feel refreshed when they wake up in the morning. So is there a correlation here? Probably so. It's a big concern that we're being exposed to much more light, sleeping less, and as a consequence may suffer from many chronic diseases. Studies have shown rhythm can be disrupted by short sleep durations or shift work. We talk about that next time. Dr. Simon Archer, who conducted the studies at the University of Surrey, said there was a large impact on how the body ran. And then these are all fundamental biological pathways that can be underlying links to some of the negative health outcomes that we see, such as cardiovascular disease, diabetes, obesity, and potentially even cancer in people who don't get enough sleep or do shift work. So we're going to take a deep breath. We just drove through a whole bunch of information there from a lot of experts in the academic fields. And I just wanted to put those quotes in so that you don't think it's me trying to promote some kind of idealistic lifestyle. Oh, you know, got to be squeaky clean, getting to bed on time because Dave says so. This is actually pretty strong science. We now know that not getting optimal sleep is a major risk factor, not only for how we feel on a day-to-day basis, but also the potential of developing serious diseases in the future that may shorten your life and certainly drastically cut down the quality of your life and affect those around you as well. Now, if you want to climb the vitality scale and stay there, you're going to need to get your sleeping patterns optimized. If they're not sleeping well at the moment, if you have poor sleep habits and bad sleep hygiene, which we'll go into, you're going to need to address this if you want to feel better during the day. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's digestive health we're talking about, whether it is hormonal health, sexual health, mood, energy levels, diabetes, blood sugar, etc. You've got to get your sleeping patterns optimized. Now, we can see the extent of the problem of people not really getting enough sleep by just examining the sleeping pill market. So in terms of sleeping pills, there's about 2 billion annual sales in the US of sleeping pills. Ambien immediate release and controlled release, Ambien is probably the one that most people have heard of most, that has $1.47 billion worth of global sales per year. And about 1 in 5 people are taking sleeping pills in China, meaning that about 20% of people are medicated in order to get a good night's sleep. That's not a particularly good situation, in my opinion. Sleep problems are not caused by sleeping pill deficiencies. And then again, just to repeat the statistic in UK where I'm living, 75% of us are waking unrefreshed. This is not a good scene. Now, there's a pretty good little ebook that you can grab online by a guy named Daniel Kripke. He's a medical doctor, and he wrote a little ebook called The Dark Side of Sleeping Pills, which shows how the sleeping pills themselves, in addition to the lack of proper sleep, can also cause problems as well. He says that people are relying on sleeping pills more than ever to get a good night's rest. But a new study by Scripps Clinic researchers links the medications to a 4.6 times higher risk of death and a significant increase in cancer cases among regular pill users. So, not good. He says, what our study shows is that sleeping pills are hazardous to your health and might cause death by contributing to the occurrence of cancer, heart disease, and other ailments. And that's the same guy, Daniel Kripke. Now, we want to talk about sleep architecture. You could call it sleepitecture, if you like, a little bit like I call snacking snackitecture. So sleepitecture. You don't need to understand and know all of this in great amounts of detail, but I think it's useful just to have a broad understanding of how sleep should really work. And so sleep architecture or sleepitecture describes the cycle of different sleep stages over the course of a night. And we have something called non-REM or non-rapid eye movement. And we have about three stages of this with different brainwave patterns. And non-REM sleep is characterized by decreased levels of blood flow to the brain and the muscles, a reduced heart rate, reduced blood pressure, and a reduced rate of respiration as well. So there are certain physiological changes that happen during the non-REM stages. We also have the opposite, which is REM, rapid eye movement. Of course, there was a very successful American rock band named REM through the 80s and early 90s. But REM stands for rapid eye movement. And in this condition of sleep, or this stage of sleep, eyes move in lots of different directions, hence the name rapid eye movement. It's a very deep sleep, and we spend about one-fifth to one-quarter of our sleep time in REM. The rest is spent in non-REM. It's very intense, and there's a lot of intense activity in different parts of the brain, and this is where dreaming occurs as well. We tend to have more blood flow to the brain, and we also get more blood flow to the clitoris and penis, which is why we wake up sexually aroused. The morning erection for guys, right? We don't have any motor function except the diaphragm and the eye muscles. The interesting point about this stage of sleep is we're kind of in a really deep trance. The eyes are moving around, but we don't really have any motor function to move our arms, legs, and the other parts of our body around. I put a little red question at the bottom of this slide. From a spiritual and philosophic perspective, the question remains, when we're in this state, where do we actually go? Where do we go? And what I mean by that is, depending on how deeply you want to think about it, where does our mind go? Where does our soul, our spirit go when we're in this state? Because most of our body appears dead. It's just our eyes that are moving around and we're dreaming. So it's a very interesting phenomenon. Now, we go back to sleeping pills, and they can be great for inducing sleep, getting us to sleep, but they don't induce REM. We don't get good levels, optimal levels of REM sleep on sleeping pills typically. And REM, it just so happens, is really important for countering inflammation and insulin resistance. Now, inflammation, as I've said many times already on the program, is the underpinning process that causes most of the modern diseases that are hurting people. Insulin resistance is the condition that ultimately leads to type 2 diabetes, and it's a huge risk factor for cardiovascular disease and certain cancers as well. So this is really important. It's worth asking the question, why do we sleep? What is the purpose of sleep? Why do we need it? And there are different theories on this. We need a little bit of physical repair after our daytime activities when we're under a lot more stress. And we also need psychological or psychogenic repair as well. So sleep is purported to look at helping us achieve both repair, growth and repair in our physical body, and growth and repair in our psychogenic body, if you like, as well. Now, what we understand is that there's an 8-hour window that's very, very important for sleep, and that's between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit more detail. And what I want to just focus on, and by the way, just this, to give credit for this diagram, it's from a book called How to Eat, Move and Be Healthy by Paul Check, one of the best books on health that has ever been written. Highly recommend you go and grab it as an adjunct and a supporting document reference for this program. But Paul's diagram here shows how our hormonal system should work on a very basic level. So if we just look at my cursor here, if I can find it, I'm going to bring it down to the left-hand side of the chart at around 6 a.m. So what happens at 6 a.m. is that we have a black line representing cortisol, which is one of our stress hormones. And cortisol wakes us up. It shoots up from about 6 a.m. up this curve here. We get to about 8 a.m., 9 a.m., and cortisol levels are highest. So it revs us up and gets us going during the day. Over the course of the day, you will actually see that the cortisol levels come down again to the point where at about 6 p.m. and then into the evening, the cortisol levels are quite low. Okay? But what you will see is that as the sun starts to come down and the moon starts to come up, we have an elevation in our sleep hormone. So this would be melatonin, as it should work. So we're winding down, should be chilling out, eating our evening meal, relaxing, maybe making love with each other, doing all the kinds of things that help us relax and feel good rather than working, which oftentimes is stressful. And what we see here then is the melatonin comes up and then it comes down again, ready to wake us up. And as it comes down, cortisol starts to go up. So there's an inverse relationship between the two hormones. Cortisol high during the day, melatonin low. Melatonin high at night, cortisol low. Now, you can see here on this diagram that between 10 p.m. here and 6 a.m., we have 2 4-hour slots. We have physical repair, which happens between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. And we have psychological repair, which happens between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. So we have an 8-hour window in which these two repair processes are active, and eating into that window can be detrimental for us. Paul's second diagram, to just really in a gross or very simple way explain what goes wrong, he basically says, look, the stress hormones are coming up here as they should do, but then because of our lifestyle, because of the things that we tend to be doing, they stay high. And then they stay high, and then they stay high. So instead of going up and coming down like they do on the first slide, what happens is they go up and they stay up, and they stay up too late. And that cuts in to our physical and psychological repair time, because we do things at night like watching TV, getting excited over sports events, listening to the radio, playing with our phones, exercising too late, working too late, being exposed to too much light at night, and all of these things keep the cortisol levels high and start to interfere with our hormonal pattern. And when we start to interfere with our hormonal pattern and our hormonal rhythm, everything goes to pot, because the hormones control everything in the body. You have two control systems, the nervous system, which is like the superhighway, rapid control, and you have the hormones, which is a slower control system. It's like the side roads rather than the highways, but nevertheless, it's a control system and it switches functions in the body on and off. So if you don't have optimal hormonal control, secondary to not getting your day-night cycle activities optimized, you're going to end up in trouble. Your blood sugar, your thyroid, your digestion, your detoxification, your immune system, all of these things are going to suffer. So as I say, all the hormones are altered with sleep deprivation. I don't think there's a single hormone in the body that would not be altered by getting your day-night cycle screwed up. These include your dozens of digestive hormones, your thyroid hormones, your adrenal hormones such as cortisol and DHEA, melatonin could also add in growth hormone there, the sex hormones, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, and then adrenaline as well. And it's worth noting that adrenaline levels increase in conjunction with less REM sleep, less deep dreaming sleep. So bottom line with this, don't screw up your sleep because it has major consequences. Now, one of the things that I would love to share with you, maybe I will do later in the program as a bonus lesson, but it's just too complex to go into right now. But a lot of psychologists and people who focus on human behavior and things believe that sleep is very important for emotional processing. So we have events that we perceive as either good or bad during the day, and we go through the sleep process to try and balance out our perceptions and process all these different things that we experience during the day. And Freud was a big advocate, Sigmund Freud, the great psychologist, he was a big advocate that sleep and dreams actually have meaning. And there's a real major psychological reason why we need sleep. I happen to believe that psychology is really important when it comes to sleep. The psychology, or your psychology, our psychology, can affect whether we get a good night's sleep through stress and the perception of it. And the sleep process itself is almost certainly, in my opinion, due to my experience in life, very important in resolving psychological imbalances and perceptual imbalances that we've compiled during the day, shall we say. And basically the mind, like the body, is trying to process information and get itself balanced while we're sleeping. And that's one of the reasons why we dream. Now, a balanced mind, mental calmness, composure, evenness of temper, where we all dream to be or long to be 24/7, is called equanimity. And that's where we have a very balanced perception. You could call it an equilibrated mind, where we're seeing equal amounts of good and bad, positive, negative, right and wrong in the things that are occurring in the world and in our lives. Now, this is an advanced topic, as I said. We'll go perhaps into detail later, or maybe I'll invite you to a full webinar or even a weekend seminar on this. But if you can process what's going on during the day and maintain equanimity of mind, which means seeing things in a balanced way and having a balanced perspective on things, is very, very beneficial to optimizing sleep and generating a healthy metabolism as well. Okay, so our summary so far at the end of this first part is just to say that sleep is really important. I wish I could just talk for hours on this because it would be really interesting, but I don't want to overwhelm you with things and we only have limited time here. A lot of people, as you know, aren't sleeping very well. You may be one of them. Sleeping pill sale volumes are enormous, and we have, you know, 20% of the Chinese population at least on sleeping pills, which is just crazy. There are two main stages of sleep, non-REM and REM. Sleep is needed for growth and repair, and it's also needed for psychogenic, psychological repair. It's tied to the light and dark cycles of the sun and moon, you know, our ancient relationship with our environment, and the disruption of sleep definitely causes problems. So what we're going to do next is dive into some more of the consequences of sleep deprivation in a little bit more detail. Also going to talk about some of the reasons why sleep deprivation and sleep problems develop in the first place. And then we're going to get to the meaty stuff, which is how you can start to change your habits, change your lifestyle, so that you can improve your sleep and get all the benefits of it. As always, the support desk is always open. Come to the Facebook page, ask your questions, drop us emails, and please don't forget to join the weekly support calls as well. And I will catch you next.